And in the very beginning, there is a reference to the goodness of the Lord. And I had been thinking about that theme because in the attributes of God, the characteristics of the God that is the God of heaven and earth, of everyone, he says in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4, he's the Lord of all peoples. He's the God of all peoples. That there are so many attributes, so many characteristics, but one of those that really stand out well is his goodness. And there is a reference to it in some of the songs we've been singing about. And I just want to focus our attention for just a few minutes, and then we get back to the singing, about the goodness of God. When Moses was coming to the end of the journey through the Egypt, from Egypt to Canaan, through the wilderness, he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, let me see your glory." You know, he really wanted to have a connection with the God of heaven. He wanted to really feel like he was in touch with God. And so he said, "Lord, show me your glory." And the Lord's response to him was, "I'll let all my goodness pass before you." So it's interesting and a very unique insight into the character of God that he wanted to show his goodness to Moses when Moses made that request about the glory of the Lord. And so that's way back in the book of Exodus chapter 33. And all throughout the scriptures we see the references to the goodness of God. We read about in Psalm 23, David, who was fearful of some opposing forces out there, he says, "The Lord is my strength. Whom shall I fear?" That's that great psalm that starts out that way, Psalm 23. But the very end of that psalm, he says, "I would have fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And so we really focused on the goodness of the Lord. And when we go through our experiences in life and the problems that we may have in our own personal life or things that we see in the world around us, it's always good to take a few moments out and focus on the goodness of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it says in the book of Romans, which is a wonderful book to study, we're doing that in our own assembly back in Tom's River, Bethany Bible Chapel. We're unpacking, so to speak, the book of Romans. And it is a wonderful exposition of the gospel of God in a very systematic order. And in chapter 2 of that great book, written by Paul, of course, and superintended by the Spirit of God, he's the one that really is the author of that book, God is, it says that God uses his goodness to bring men to repentance. And I always like that verse. You know, we think the way to bring somebody to understand their errors and their ways is to really bring it before them so they repent. But in that fourth verse of chapter 2, it says, "Do you despise the forbearance," that's the patience of God, "and his goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God leads people to repentance?" And it's interesting when you look at it from that standpoint. God is so good. He's so kind. As the scripture says, his mercy endures forever. God's goodness is there all the time, and his mercy endures forever. And so he highlights, if you will, from the scriptures, his goodness very much is an operative principle in this world. He shows his goodness. And yet people despise that goodness, or they overlook it, or whatever you might want to call it. David in his psalm, I think Psalm 23, a psalm that many of us know very well. The last verse of that great psalm, Psalm 23, says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So the point is this, the goodness of God is there all the time. And there's a great psalm, Psalm 107, that I'd like to read a few verses to you about that really highlight the goodness of the Lord. It's Psalm 107, and it's a longer psalm, and we're not looking at it, we're not studying it tonight or anything like that, but just to focus on this concept of the goodness of God. Psalm 107 gives a description of how God works through people's problems to show them his goodness. And he uses four different scenarios in the life of the history of the nation of Israel. But you know, you can take the examples or the experiences that Israel went through in the wilderness and kind of equate them in your own personal life. And that's what God does here in this chapter. He takes four different scenarios and explains them, how God shows and demonstrates his goodness all the way through. This is how the psalm starts out. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south." And that's how it opens up with these introductory words. But then he says, they, speaking of the nation of Israel, wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. They were in a problem or a predicament. And when they were in the problem and predicament, they cried out to the Lord. The Lord delivered them. And then the Lord caused them to bring forth praise in their experience, in their expression. How does that little portrayal of God's intervention in the life of the nation of Israel, how is it expressed? This is what the writer says, David. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In other words, going through problems, going through difficulties, God in his wonderful way, goodness and his mercy expressed to those people, delivered them, intervened, and they came forth praising the Lord. From a problem to a praise. That's how it works. And that's what God does in people's lives. They may not even see it. There's an interesting verse found in Job 33. It says, God speaks one way. Listen to this. God speaks one way or another, and yet man perceives it not. In other words, God is always at work. You know, I remember when I was in eighth grade, I think there was a book that they were forcing us to read. I went to public schools. There's no homeschooling at the time. And, you know, they forced you to read some of these books. And there was a phrase that says, God is nowhere. Okay, that's what they were trying to push. God is nowhere. And I remember years afterwards looking at that, and I says, you know what? It's all how you look at it. Because you can say God is nowhere, or you can say God is now here. It's a nice way to say it, right? Same letters. Nowhere, now here. And you just look at those words. And indeed, God is here all the time, working in people's hearts and lives. But you know, God speaks one way or another, just like it says in Job 33, and man doesn't perceive it. But if that person has a soft heart and is wanting to know the way God has, what God has in store for them, that heart will be opened. It's like Acts chapter 16. Lydia says her heart was open to hear the things spoken by the Apostle Paul. And she gave ear to what he said, and she came to know the Lord. Acts chapter 16. From that became certain circumstances and situations that landed Paul in jail for preaching the gospel. But when he was in jail, the earthquake occurred in that Philippian jail, and then the jailer came to know the Lord. And then his household came to know the Lord. And so all through these problems and predicaments, there came forth praise because of the goodness of God leading people along. And so it's a wonderful portrayal of God's grace and goodness, just as we have here in Psalm 107. That's the first portrayal of it. There's another portrayal. This is the way it reads. It says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God, despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That's the problem. But what happened? It says right here. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. That's what God does when people call out for help to the Lord of heaven. He says, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He brought their chain, broke their chains in pieces. And oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Second time that stanza is repeated. Second time. There's four of them all together. And that's the second time. This one was not because there was some sort of solitary wandering in the wilderness like it's described the first portrayal. This time is because there is deliberate transgression, deliberate actions that were taken that brought problems upon these individuals. And yet God in his grace, God in his goodness, reached out and delivered that person who called out to the Lord, to the God of heaven, for help. And what did God do? He responded. That's because he's good. He's a good God that we serve. And the Bible portrays that attribute of God, the goodness of God. That's the second one. The third one is found in the following verses. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. And this is the bad problem they have. They're, again, some sort of action on their part causing these problems to occur. But when they are near the gates of death, it says in verse 19 of this Psalm 107, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. That's a great verse. Deliver them from their destructions. And how does it finish? With that same wonderful refrain. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Our God is good. His characteristic of goodness is very clear from the beginning of the Bible, even in Moses' day, all the way to the end of the Bible. His goodness is declared. That last one, the last portrayal, four of them all found here in Psalm 107, is very interesting. Because it talks about people just going along doing work like normal, just doing their regular job. That's what we read about here in these verses. Let me read them for you. People who go down to the sea in ships, who do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord. Nothing wrong there. They see his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. And then it says their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And they're at their wits' ends. The description here is not that anybody did anything wrong. They're just going through the experiences of life. And the experiences of life hit people hard. You know, it's not that you intend to do something wrong, yet you might have a health issue, you might have some other issue, and they just come on you in life. That's the way life is. And even though they were experiencing these problems that came on them, not self-induced, not because of something they did, but simply because they were there, they experienced these problems. In this description, it's the mounting up of the waves on the sea and all the problems there. Their soul melted within. They cried out. They were at their wits' end. What did they do? Even in the problems of life, just what it says here, verse 28. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He calmed the storm so that its waves are still. Then they were glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. And what's the response? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The highlight of God's goodness and grace. It's a wonderful psalm. I would encourage you to take a close look at it. But it describes the way that people have the coming contact with the God of heaven, who cares for them and has an interest in them. And I'm here tonight to remind you through the word, through the scriptures, we've been hearing it through song this evening, of God's grace and mercy and goodness to everyone, no matter who they are. God wasn't discriminating here between the people. He didn't say, oh, these are church people or anything like that. He's simply saying these are people that go through the various experiences of life, whether it's foolish decisions, wrong choices made on their part, or just going through the problems of life, the things of life that brought their own issues. God still demonstrates his goodness and grace. So we don't want to despise his goodness. He wants us to acknowledge him. He wants us to realize that he is there. It's not nowhere, but now here that God is. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And we trust that everyone in this room knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they can truly say, he is my Savior. And if you can't say that with real confidence and with real conviction, we would encourage you to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. I want to trust you as my Savior. And that's the wonderful things that we've been singing about. Then you can sing these songs with real gusto because, indeed, it's coming from the heart. There's within my heart, I sing this song, there's within my heart a melody. Jesus reaches sweet and low. And so it's a tremendous, tremendous conviction that we should have for the things of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord as well. So we trust that these words from Psalm 107 are a real help and a blessing. The reminder of the goodness of God working all the time in people's lives. Let's just take a moment and pray and thank Him for these things. Father in heaven, thank You again for Your grace. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for that wonderful attribute that You are indeed at work in people's lives, no matter who they are, where they are, what they've done, no matter what background they might have, no matter if it's a background that has nothing to do with religion or the Bible or anything. Lord, You are still showing Your goodness and Your long-suffering and Your care to anyone who would call upon You. We thank You, Father, for the wonderful offer of salvation that's available full and free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through these songs, Father, and through these scriptures, we pray indeed that You would speak to people's hearts even this evening. We ask these things, giving thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.